Okay, today we have Mark Treziak of Plymouth Canton Schools in Plymouth, Michigan. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Tom? Thanks for the opportunity.
I just wanted to hear about your STEM program, and let's get started. Why don't you talk a little bit about the Plymouth Canton Schools, how it's set up, and how you're involved in it?
Yeah, so I am. This is now my like 15th or 16th year here at West Middle School in Plymouth. I am one of five middle schools, and we all have a comparable program to each other. We definitely have different approaches to how we accomplish the same tasks. But the one thing I can say about all of us as a group is we work very well together. And we all have common goals, and there's common themes between our courses and kind of what we expect to achieve as part of that.
Okay. And the five middle schools feed into three high schools. Is that right?
Correct. Yes. Into three different high schools where there are different opportunities for each of the students up there.
Okay.
We're pretty fortunate down where we're at. We have a lot of kids who I don't want to say are kind of forced to take our class, but we do have probably about 85 or 90% of all of the middle school students in the district cycle through one of our five programs here at any of the respective schools. So that's a pretty high average of kids.
Well, that's really important because it is an elective to have STEM. And in fact, the Plymouth Canton School District is, how would you rank the demographic? It's a upper middle class area of
I'd say that's that's accurate. I'd say it's professional, kind of an upper blue collar, mostly professional type atmosphere. I think that a lot of the parents or guardians that are involved with students here have a very firm grasp of the material that we're presenting in the class. So I think that the value and the appreciation for that comes from home as well as at school. And that definitely helps our efforts in, delivering some high end, material to the kids.
Okay. Now you've been around here for, you said 15 years, but you've also been involved in teaching at the university level and training at different companies as well around this Detroit, Ann Arbor area, correct?
Yeah, so I've worked a bunch of, different positions. I've had a couple of teaching positions in other districts previous to Plymouth Canton. I also worked at Eastern Michigan for several years in the, STEM or technology education teacher area, teaching a variety of courses there. I also have professional experience in like a high production, like cabinet shop and carpentry. I've also worked for several years in high-end bicycles, like repair and whatnot in that area as well.
Okay, but your calling is an educator, so.
Yeah, well, at some point or another, it all kind of ties together.
Okay, all right. So you've got a high variety of students coming into your STEM program. How did you go about setting it up? You've got sixth, seventh, and eighth graders, and I've seen your lab, and it's fabulous. Let's talk a little bit about how you've gotten it all together.
So, I kind of have to go chronologically as far as that goes. When I first entered this district, my room was literally empty. There was zero in it, and I had to unload a semi-truck full of material that had been in storage for years. It was probably a well-used, well-worn, like old shop. You would think of like something from the 70s. And then since then, through a series of partnerships, good luck, and a bunch of generosity, we've kind of really upgraded what we have to offer the students. About probably 7 years ago now, we had a bond issue here, and part of the bond issue was a big influx in money for STEM type curriculums throughout the district. So as a result of that, my area specifically saw a big influx in, you know, room remodel, a lot of materials in the room, and also some legacy costs. So there's also, you know, a little bit of money every year for us to kind of maintain what we have going on throughout the years. So I have, did you want to talk about like what the labs include now, or did you?
Let's in fact, why don't we go from the beginning, like sixth, seventh, eighth grade? What do you do in the sixth grade? And how have you built up what they do?
So if the way that this works is my own personal philosophy, and it kind of, I think a lot of people have the same type of philosophy as far as this go with sixth graders, is we want to introduce them to the curriculum, to the material, but don't have it not be fun. Like the main course of action in this class with kids of that age is to make it fun and engaging. These kids need to come in, be entertained, and also walk away with something tangible at the end of whatever lesson it is that they're doing.
So they're like 12 years old, right? 12 years old.
Some are 10. I mean, we have 10-year-olds that are in this class. So,
okay.
10, 11, 12 years old in sixth grade. So the main thing is, you know, we teach them some things. We teach them the basics of, you know, the different, you know, tools and whatnot that we're going to use in the classroom. We teach them some of the different expectations of how to operate in the classroom. We show them, you know, some different measuring techniques, some different drawing techniques. And then from that, they build a project that, you know, is very age appropriate and that they all, you know, enjoy. I kind of call it a legacy project right now, because there's a lot of students who've had older siblings who come in expecting this to be done.
That's...
So there's a lot of that going on. And then we kind of build on, you know, build from that in the next couple projects that we do with sixth graders. So after that, we kind of delve into some engineering terms and techniques where we learn about structures and what have you. And then after that, the kids actually have an opportunity to build a structure. And then we have a testing station, you know, where we test the structure to see its effectiveness.
Okay.
And then as you go up throughout the grades, seventh grade is again a continuation of what we learned in sixth grade, where again, it's a lot more geared towards fun, geared towards, you know, kind of group and, you know, community efforts, if you will. The kids work on a design project. And then after that, we kind of make a shift to electronics. And then we do 3D modeling and design. And after the 3D modeling and design component is done on the computer, the kids have an opportunity to then use the 3D printers or some of the CNC machines or laser products or laser machines that we have here.
Okay.
So that's more, again, exploratory, something very easy, something very fun. And then we get to the eighth grade stuff where the kids at that point then kind of have an idea of what they like and what they don't like. And there's different classes that we offer that would associate with that. So we have robotics, we have manufacturing, we have 3D design and modeling. So at some point, you know, you would plug yourself into one or all of those classes if you liked them. And that's where you would learn how to use some of the software like VCarve. We also use Inventor or Tinkercad. You're gonna do a lot more extensive 3D printing, a lot more extensive projects on a CNC machine, or again, a couple projects that would utilize the laser and the CNC machine or something along those lines.
Okay, so Michigan is a big industrial state. You taught at the university level as well. Is this design based on local industry needs as well, the robotics and 3D printing kind of thing? How did you come to bring that all together?
You know, I would say, again, partly due to what you mentioned and partly due to luck. You know, many years ago, I won a grant from Bosch, and it was at the infancy of, like, you know, home 3D printers is when, you know, I got this grant, and I used every single penny that I had and every single penny that they gave me to buy a 3D printer. And what I found is that offering the students a tangible outcome for what would typically be boring and mundane, you know, designing things on the computer, was very, very helpful to me in engaging my students. So once the kids kind of saw that, you know, wow, not only can we use this computer software to, you know, draw this and, you know, hypothetically have this project, but now we can actually have it and, you know, it's like a fruit of our labor, that really helped a lot. And I think with what you said in industry is, I think that's a lot to do, has a lot to do with how these kids operate too. And it's kind of what they're doing in industry is having people have the ability to do rapid prototyping and make mistakes and see how they made the mistakes and then fix the mistakes based upon how they assess it at the end. So these kids are really delving into some, you know, higher level things that, you know, a lot of other places don't offer. And, you know, that's one of the things that separates us from, you know, a lot of other places around.
Okay, now you said you're working with the other four middle schools in the district. Have they been able to adopt the same thing as well?
Or yeah, I mean, I think that all of us have the same mindset. I mean, clearly everybody has their strengths, and I don't want to say weaknesses, but everybody has different strengths, you know, that are individual. So where I might focus on one area a little bit heavier, another guy might focus on another area that's a little, you know, heavier. But again, at the end of the day, the learning outcomes are all the same. It kind of depends on who you are as to how you get there.
Okay. Well, I'm thrilled to hear that 85% of the students are going through your class. I know I talk to schools around the country and it's an elective, and you could take band or Spanish or French, and it seems like your community's behind it.
That's definitely one of the things that, you know, we are fortunate for. I mean, it took some time to, you know, get there, and it took some results for people to kind of jump on board, 100% with us. But you know, we do have it set up in such a manner to where, you know, the community invested a lot of money into this area, and the community expectation is that the kids are going to have a lot of exposure to this type area. So it would be, you know, not wise of us to say, all right, well, only 10% of the students would be able to, you know, enjoy what they paid a, you know, ransom for, King's ransom for, you know?
Right. Okay.
So we do have, like, I don't want to say it's required, but in sixth grade, the kids kind of get a rotation where they'll have my class, gym or PE, they'll have like LME, and then they'll have a class called problem solving or something like that. But every single kid has all four of those classes. So one quarter they'll have me, the next quarter they'll have the next one, and they all rotate back and forth. So there's, again, a lot of kids that come through here, and it's a very, very high average of the kids.
Great. Well, is the problem solving class considered a STEM class as well?
It is. It is. There's, a PBL class in seventh grade and in sixth grade too. And we've done a lot of collaboration, at least the seventh grade, seventh and eighth grade teacher and myself have collaborated to kind of work together. At one point, so we had the kids for 10 weeks each. And at one point we co-taught and taught the kids for 20 weeks. And unfortunately, COVID happened right during that. So we really didn't get a chance to fully assess how that was going to work out for us. But, you know, everything pointed to it working out very well in the beginning.
Okay, for people around the country, let's talk about the beginning of the program with you. As you said, you got 85% of people going through and in a really big support. Was there any pushback when you started? How did it go as far as that was concerned?
Well, I mean, originally, before we kind of got the support of the community and the support of the industry around us, there were times it was tough for everybody at certain points in the time I've been here. So much so, I went out and got another certification, you know, in the event that this wasn't going to be around anymore. But you know, through a stroke of luck and the way things were working, it seems like everybody you know, made a shift to and saw the value in these type of courses. And when that happened, you know, I made a huge effort and a huge, I made a huge effort to make these classes something that would differentiate myself and our district from other people and offer a high quality product that the kids could really, really benefit from in future life. So I didn't want the kids to come through my class and have a bad taste in their mouth for any kind of STEM type, you know, career they might want to pursue at one point in their life. So I wanted this to be fun, and I wanted their first exposure to a STEM type environment to be a very positive aspect.
Okay. So how did you go about building the curriculum then? You're buying your own product and you're building your own curriculum. How'd you go about doing that?
You know, we did use some Project Lead the Way stuff. When I worked at the university, we were kind of entwined with Project Lead the Way. And we found, you know, at the time that it was a little bit, probably, it didn't work well for us. So especially based upon the skill level of the people that, you know, are working with myself in the other schools, we found it was better just to focus on our own strengths and, you know, design our projects based upon those. So I guess to answer your question, I would come up with projects that, you know, I've used in the past and kind of modify them to really get like the engineering or the STEM type, you know, components tied to it, if you will. One of the projects that we do for, again, I talked about that legacy project a while back, is a gumball machine. I mean, it's something like you would probably have seen a kid make in the 70s, but the way that it's presented and the way that it's put together and the concepts and skills that are taught are exactly what the kids of this age need to really understand how to be successful and how to operate in a setting like this. And, you know, again, I kind of joke with parents when I talk to them about it. I'm like, the kids are learning about things and being tricked into learning things because they're having more fun than they think they are, you know?
Right.
So there was that. And then I kind of think that, you know, based upon, you know, the time too, you know, our projects kind of morph into what's hot at the time. I mean, right now we're kind of really getting into a point where 3D printing is very, very available to kids. You know, I have kids that have printers at home. And with that said, you know, a lot of the kids right now, there's an expectation when they walk in the door that we're going to be doing a lot of 3D printing. Or when they see that we have CNC machines, they want to do a lot of 3D or CNC machine work. I don't think a lot of them have a full understanding of what the capabilities are when they walk in the door. But one of the things that I like to do is give them a lot of personal choice when it comes to how they do their project and how they finish things on their own.
Well, one of the things I'm working on, in fact, I'm in the next town, Livonia, from you. Bosch is, in fact, part of the Chamber of Commerce of Livonia, and they're trying, they've got a skills shortage. They need engineers, they need CNC people as well. What happens, are the students excited enough when they get out of eighth grade working with a CNC machine that they want to take the next step, or they know the opportunities that might come about after high school that they could work in the industry?
Well, I mean, we definitely do our part to, you know, fill them in of like what type of opportunities might be available to them, you know, when that time comes. However, you know, there's a 4-year span after they're with me that, you know, I don't have much influence on, you know, their thoughts and whatever goes on at that point. So, you know, the high school does do a good job. They have, we do have a STEM program, a specific STEM program at the high school. There's also some industrial arts programs still around. You know, I don't know that there's a, you know, an area where they would be able to do, like, again, a graduation to a CNC program from what we have.
Okay. Is there now with things like the CARES Act, we understand that there's a lot of dollars available to enhance the programs that you have. Are you going to benefit by any of that? Are you aware of yet?
Well, I hope. We definitely have asked. So we're going to see how it works. And, you know, we'll see how much they like us when it comes to passing out some of the money. So we've been fortunate in the past. We've never been without anything that we've needed. So, you know, if there's an opportunity for us to, you know, benefit from something like that, I'm sure that, you know, they'll share some of the wealth, you know?
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm hearing from different places around the country, you know, Detroit, for instance, we're closed. They have $1.3 billion to spend in the school system. What are they going to do with it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'd love to see.
You know, can we get them to adopt more STEM into their programs? So, like you said, you have everything you need. So I would imagine we've talked about some things as far as educator shortage in the area. Do you need teachers there? Have you been contacted by universities and community colleges to teach yourself?
Well, I have not really reached out to do that, to be honest. There's an active amount of poaching going on right now in this industry where, you know, if you want to work somewhere else, you could definitely work somewhere else. You know, as far as that goes, there's, you know, several times I've gotten phone calls asking if myself or if I know anybody, you know, would be interested in doing something. I know a couple people who have, you know, changed districts later on in their careers, and, you know, it's been good for them and good for the people who have hired them to do that. So yeah, there definitely is a shortage. And I mean, you spoke about, like, you know, Detroit getting, you know, an inordinate amount of money and hopefully being able to spend the money on, you know, some STEM type curriculum. And part of the problem is that, you know, again, we talked about the shortage, like there's not that many people around that can do effectively, you know, what we do and, you know, deliver a product that's going to be, you know, usable to the student and, you know, work well. It's an unfortunate set of circumstances, but it is what it is.
Okay. Let's see, what else are we supposed to talk about?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we talked about the teacher shortage and, you know, the programming that's going on here and kind of, I mean, I guess the next steps, you know, as far as, you know, getting these kids to, you know, some kind of trade school or some kind of, you know, engineering type school or whatnot, you know, that's where there kind of seems to be a little bit of a disconnect with these kids. I don't think that there's a very effective, like, outreach program for these, a lot of these programs. I mean, just this morning I heard about, you know, Central Michigan talking about how their, you know, decline in enrollment is 40% below what it should be. And they're admitting it was due to, you know, poor marketing practices and whatnot. So, and antiquated marketing practices. So I think that that's something that definitely needs to be, you know, brought up and kind of, you know, definitely sold to some of these programs. I mean, everybody wants kids to come into their program, but I don't think that there's an effective marketing plan in place sometimes that gets right to where it needs to be.
Well, that's the thing that we've been battling with for a lot of years in technical education, vocational education, as you said, industrial arts. I was interested to hear you say that word. Mm-hmm. But I sat with some high school students in Livonia a few weeks back, and they said, hey, the parents are telling us we got to go to college. And, you know, I don't know that they understand the concepts of either side of what they're doing. So,
well, and that's the thing. I just think that there needs to be more available information, you know, for these kids. I mean, the trades, again, if you see the trades are always looking for people. But again, I don't believe that there's, you know, an outreach program that goes and, you know, pulls these kids out, or, you know, allows for them to see firsthand, you know, what's taking place. You know, I think that would help out a lot, and it would, you know, I don't want to say like, you know, it would definitely help them make it more of a desirable setting for these kids. If they saw what they were doing, how they were doing it, and, you know, see the money that you could make as well. That's the main thing.
Well, that's what I told some students as well. You could go to Schoolcraft College in their advanced manufacturing area, take one semester of CNC training and get a job.
Yeah.
I also talked to some of the freshmen at Eastern Michigan University at Sill Hall. I said, take all your classes here. They've got a robotics program, and if they can start and they can get a summer job working in industry here in Michigan. So we try.
Yeah, that's definitely something. I mean, I've always had a respect for, you know, the skilled trades and whatnot. I mean, my whole family is somehow involved in skilled trades, with the exception of myself, to be honest. And, you know, both my dad and my grandfather both have degrees from Lawrence Tech, but both went on to be electricians. They never even used the degrees. So
Really? They
both worked in the skilled trades, even with, you know, higher degrees from, you know, Lawrence Tech at the time. So,
well, I'm going to get you involved in a couple of things I'm doing then, as far as this area is concerned. We are bringing some people together. I think we're having some positive effect, but it's still a battle. You have to make a choice. At 12, they're making you make a choice in high school. You go one path or another. And when you graduate, you know, do you want to take a loan and go to college, or do you want to get in an apprenticeship program? Well, those are both kind of different things. We've got to open up something that allows for people to learn some things and get involved with society. So
no, absolutely. I mean, there's, you know, it's choices, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with having choices, but the best choice you can have are informed choices. And I don't think that, you know, these kids have the ability to have, you know, an informed choice. I think in a lot of cases, their choices are being made for them, and the pressures are being, you know, cast upon them without their own, you know,
Right. Their
own selves making the decision.
Exactly. So,
not that there's anything, you know, bad going to college. It's a great thing to do, right? I mean, I went to college, a lot of people went to college, but there's definitely nothing wrong with, you know, going to a trade school and learning, you know, a trade and a skill that not only can be used in your 9-to-5 job, but can also be used to, you know, supplement your income if you'd like to as well. I mean, it's a built-in side hustle. It works out great.
Right. Well, that one thing that I say is, look, we're a manufacturing area here. Manufacturing, construction are the biggest industries in the world. Mm-hmm. You could be a manager there, but it makes sense if you learn the basics of construction and manufacturing in order to become that manager.
And the thing about it is too, is I've always lived by the thought that you should diversify what you're good at and what you do. So if in the event something happens to one component of your, you know, job skill set or whatever like that, you're not going to be left hanging out to dry. So like I mentioned before, at some point I was a little uncertain as to what was going to happen to the future of, you know, the technology education courses here, or, you know, the STEM courses or whatever. So I had to go out and get another certification just as an insurance policy so that I'd still be able to have a job. You know, that's the, you know, don't have all your eggs in one basket is the one thing I can tell people.
Okay. Well, that's right. Okay. Let's see what else can we discuss here today.
Well, I think that, you know, one of the things I'd like to do too, Tom, is have you come, you know, sometime when things clear up a little bit more, and have you come when the kids are here in action, and you could kind of see and maybe have an interview with some of the kids and talk to them and see how they feel about, you know, kind of the things that are going on in the classroom. I mean, I could sit and talk to you, and, you know, you and I could talk all the time, but I think it would be really powerful for you to see, you know, the kids talk about what they're doing and explain to you some of the things that you would never think a 13-year-old could explain to you.
Right.
And, you know, see some things a 13-year-old kid doing that you would never think a 13-year-old kid could do. So at the amount of skill that some of these kids have is unbelievable. And it's just, you know, the ability to be able to harness that from them is, you know, I'm very fortunate that I have the ability to work with kids as good as I work with.
I'd like to do that. In fact, I think that that's a good way to bring to other locations. I mean, the problem that we may have here in education is a disconnect between the parents knowing what's going on with the students and the schools and how much that they benefit from this type of thing. We're fighting through different things in education, but we need more to pay attention to what the student needs are. So I'll come anytime you want.
No, the invitation is open, and I can tell you, you will definitely, you know, it will not be a wasted day. You'll enjoy yourself, and the kids will enjoy telling you what they know. So, you know, it's definitely a situation where, you know, I learn from them as much as they learn from me. And there's a lot of, you know, discovery that happens on both ends. I mean, the kids definitely, you know, do a good job, and the more interested they get, the more desire they have to learn. And that makes things easier.
We'd love to do that. In fact, one of the questions I was going to ask you is, if you have been, you lose them here for about 4 or 5 years, do any come back and talk to you, know anybody that's gone through college and benefited by what you've been doing?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, all the time.
Okay.
I have a couple of students that have gone to college and have, you know, contacted me, hey, can I come in and use some of the material, some of the machines or whatnot for a project I'm working on for college? No problem. You know,
okay.
I want this 3D printed. Can you do it for me? No problem. You know, anytime. I mean, you come in and you can use anything you want anytime.
Okay.
Obviously COVID kind of messed that up a little bit, but, you know, hopefully we're getting back to that.
Right. Okay. Well, are these engineering students, or are they, what kind of students are they when they're in
college? Yeah, typically they're engineering students. You know, like kids who have gone to U of M for engineering school and whatnot. And, you know, definitely, you know, they stop by, and, you know, whenever they need help, I'm always willing to give them help. It seems like I'm writing recommendation letters all the time for stuff.
That's great.
Which is good. I'm honored to do it, you know?
Yeah, great. Well, I'm sure that from what I've seen, they call you Mr. T in the neighborhood there. So you've done some great things. So any parting words before we leave?
No, I appreciate it. And I would just say to anybody out there, you know, if you have any kind of questions or anything like that, reach out. I'm consider myself to be a pretty collaborative person. So, you know, I'm not holding any special recipe or anything like that. It's, you know, I'll tell you what I do, and I'll ask you what you do, and we'll try to make the best of that if, you know, a conversation wants to be had. So there's always room to make things better, and that's what I'm looking to do here.
Okay. Well, we're going to be having conversations throughout the country. So we'll be back to you. Obviously we're close by. So we appreciate your time and appreciate the invitation. I'll be out and talking to you sometime soon.
All right. Very good, Tom. Again, I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Thank you.